couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And once again, we are back.
We are back!
For episode 144.
We need a soundtrack.
Do we need a soundtrack?
I need a soundtrack for just... Because you know what? The other day, I had to go to Walmart in the middle of the night to get something. I had to get, like, envelopes. And so I was listening to...
Envelopes,
the I was listening to the soundtrack to Harry Potter, which has some slower parts, but some really intense stuff.
And you didn't say Harry Potter right.
What did I say?
That's
Harry
not
Potter!
How you, that's not how you said it in the show prep.
Harry Potter! But so as I'm getting the envelopes, it was the most dramatic getting of envelopes I've ever been to.
Because was there loud music playing?
As I'm getting them.
Nice.
Wouldn't it be awesome?
So you had an epic journey to Walmart in the middle of the night to get... "Quote unquote envelopes
in my superhero pants.
In your, fair enough.
I go out there in my superhero pants, hoping somebody will take a picture of me and put me on peopleofwalmart.com.
Can I just say that I have also a pair of pajama pants that I cherish.
Mm-hmm.
They have the Tasmanian devil on them.
Ooh!
But my lady bought me plaid ones because apparently that's what adults are supposed to wear. And I don't think that's true. And I feel like your story just validated that I'm right.
Yeah, the plaid stuff, that just makes you look like a bum. The superhero pants make you look like a freak.
Right.
And I keep hoping for my picture to show up on peopleofwalmart.com. It hasn't yet.
Nice.
Sadly.
So you're trying to get on People of Walmart. I could probably submit you to... I have some pictures of you that would get on People of Walmart.
We never went to Walmart together, and I don't think you ever
took pictures of me. I'll Photoshop you into Walmart. That's all that needs to happen.
You should. Because you know what? And actually, you know how to guarantee you get on peopleofwalmart.com is if you... If you have your pants riding so low that people can, you know, see your crack.
Can see your situation. Yeah.
Let's just put it that there's more crack on peopleofwalmart.com than in the evidence locker at LAPD.
Anyway, if you would like to get involved in this drive to get Kevin on peopleofwalmart.com, you can hit us up at fatguysinthemovies.com. You should also then subscribe to us on iTunes so that you know... so that you can keep track of the campaign, which I've now started, on iTunes. Just subscribe to us, review us, say nice things, mean things, whatever. We don't care. Email
well,
us.
You care.
I
you don't
care.
Like people.
Kevin
you don't like when people say mean things to
Email us, fatguysatfilmschoolrejects.com, or leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. And, of course, we'll keep you updated on the Twitter when Kevin does finally get onto peoplewalmart.com, fulfilling his life goal. You can follow me at twitter.com/rejects, and Kevin is twitter.com/KevinCarr with two R's.
That's right. Don't mess it up.
So this is a campaign now. I don't know if you knew that. I don't know if you noticed what I was just saying.
That's awesome. I'm totally into campaigns.
Campaign to get Kevin Carr on peopleofwalmart.com.
And I fully expect to do a smear campaign to all the other people on peopleofwalmart.com. The only problem is I don't know what I would smear them with. Be like, these people have a college
really
education. Well, no, but I mean, they just like be like, these people have a college education. They don't like NASCAR. You know, I mean, it's like, wouldn't that be the smear campaign
saying
for some
nice
of these
things about them?
Yeah. The person who has the goat in the back of their truck is actually a college professor. I mean, is that something
right.
that we could, would that work?
Maybe.
I think so.
I don't know. Anyway, we should review movies.
Yes.
And we'll come back to the Kevin Carr for peopleofwalmart.com president campaign later.
Mm-hmm.
What's the first movie? Oh, Princess and the Frog.
Yep.
It is the return of Disney animation to 2D animation.
Hand-drawn. Computer-drawn
2D animation. And it is about a frog prince with a new twist in Louisiana Bayou, son.
There's magic in the air tonight.
And anything can happen.
I suppose you want a kiss.
Kissing would be nice, yes?
I was cursed by a witch doctor.
You must kiss me.
Excuse me?
Please, it will make me human again.
You didn't see this, did you?
No, I missed it.
You didn't? Wow. Why didn't you miss it?
Well, I had other things going on that day, like sleep.
Oh, wow. Because you couldn't get up at 10 in the morning to go see the screening of this with the kids?
I would have had to get up at 9 or 9:30, Kevin.
Oh, my word.
Let's be real about this. Also, I was told the day before that they were getting a screener of it. I just haven't gotten it yet. So
really, seriously, you're going to get a screener of this? I doubt you'll get this.
This is what I'm told.
Before Christmas.
Well, no, it comes. They were going to send them out the week after it released. So next week, I should get one.
Wow, that is the ultimate pinnacle of laziness as a film critic.
Knowing that you're going to get a screener and then just deciding not to go see a movie. And
it's one thing if it's like a limited release, like Up in the Air, for example, is this one that's out mm-hmm. in some theaters and it's sort of rolling out to other cities, and it'll be completely wide, I think, by Christmas.
Right.
But it'd be one thing to sit there and say, well, I'll wait for the screener to that. But to wait for the big, huge, like 3,000 theater release date, wait past it, not go to the theater, A, for the screening, B, to go see it yourself, and just wait for them to send you a screener. Does Disney do screen? They did a screener for Up.
Mm-hmm.
I got that.
I just figured that you would review this for us. I figured you'd like it anyway because it's a Disney movie. And
I did not like Old Dogs.
Everything animated that Disney does.
Well, but Disney does quality work when it comes to animation.
Well, I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying that you like everything.
What Disney animated film did you not like? I mean, Atlantis was kind of stinky.
Yeah, right. Well, and then there was some of the other, like the CG animated stuff, like.
Oh, Chicken Little Meet the Robinsons were fun.
Meet the Robinsons was okay. What was the one, not the Miley Cyrus with the dog movie, but the other one?
It Bolt. Wow. You're really digging.
Before Bolt.
Well, yeah, like The Wild.
The Wild.
That was bad.
There you go.
But, see, Disney does quality work, especially for the feature animation. They had some stinkers. I didn't like, you know, like Tarzan. But that was more because Rosie O'Donnell was. I just couldn't just take her. It was just like.
Anyway, so we're belaboring the point here.
Yes.
Give us your take on the princess and the frog. On the bayou.
Well, the thing is, what I liked about it was the fact that it was sort of that throwback to, you know, traditional Disney 2D animation. It's the stuff mm-hmm. that. I liked Home on the Range, which was the last film they did, which was kind of that final nail in the coffin because it wasn't huge. Mm-hmm. But no, this one was really fun, and it had decent music. The music wasn't like as awesome as like the Howard Ashman and Alan Menken days, like with Beauty and the Beast and mm-hmm. The Little Mermaid. This one was, it's by Randy Newman, so it wasn't Elton John, which was getting a little bit tired, but mm-hmm. Randy, he does some good stuff. I mean, it's...
Elton John, like the Circle of Life Elton John?
Yes, don't start singing that or I will... punch you through the magical studio in the sky. But the songs are decent. It does have a lot of them in it. It goes back to kind of like where it's almost in a musical with how many songs they have. But it sort of twists mm-hmm. the whole Frog Prince on its ear. And it's a cute little story. It's, you know, it's a love story. I mean, it is really heavy in sort of like that, you know, New Orleans culture. I mean, they really kind of lay that on real thick. And the bad guy's a kind of a voodoo priest, which I would imagine mm-hmm. anybody who really practices voodoo would be really offended by this, but it's a
why they practice voodoo.
Well, voodoo's an offshoot of Catholicism.
It's a real thing.
Hoodoo is the bad part. But anyways,
what if you practice hoodoo voodoo? Can you still be
offended? I don't know if you're seeing Disney movies at that point. But no, hoodoo, it's voodoo? Good. It's really cool and it's fun for kids. It's another princess movie, so it's gonna rock the girls' world. So I mean, I say it rocks. It was fun.
Okay, there you go. When we come back, we'll talk about movies that I've seen. And we are back on Fat Guys at the Movies.
That's right.
So we got two movies to review in this second segment, both of which I have seen.
Ooh,
one of which because I got a screener of it. But it's going to be good. I feel a good vibe coming from these because this first movie is kind of like District 9, only without the aliens. So it's Invictus. It is directed by Clint Eastwood and in which alien prawns come out to support Nelson Mandela's presidency by playing rugby and eating cat food.
Today, President Mandela takes office in Pretoria, balancing black aspirations with white fears.
How long before the world comes? Don't get your hopes up. We're a damn disgrace.
I've been invited to tea.
With who?
The president.
What did he want?
I think he wants us to win the World Cup.
This rugby is a political calculation.
It is a human calculation.
I don't really think that's it.
I don't think that's the description, although
based
it would
on
have
the
been
trailer.
It would have been better.
Well, let me just say this, I guess, first up.
You go on your rant, because you seem to really have a problem.
I didn't like this movie at all, and I'll tell you why. Because, first of all, it's a great story. The true story behind this is a great story. Nelson Mandela is a fantastically interesting person.
He was that rap star, wasn't he?
No.
The 80s?
No, he was actually the president of the South. So it's a great, and then you have two great actors giving great performances in Morgan Freeman and Matt Damon. Two American actors, or Western actors, I guess, playing South Africans.
Well, wait, they're both American.
Is Morgan Freeman American?
I'm pretty sure
yeah,
he is.
Fair
isn't
enough.
He, isn't he from, like, Boston? I think, aren't they both from Boston?
I don't know. He could be British. You never know.
I've never heard him in a British accent ever. I mean, that's like saying, well, you know what? You could be from...
All right, so you have two American actors.
Uzbekistan.
You have two American actors playing South Africans. Not an easy task. Both of them pull it off, in my mind, brilliantly. The problem with this movie is the director, and that director is Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood gets in his way so much
by
in this film.
I'm just
poor soundtrack choices, poor editing choices. The movie is about rugby, yet it is very easy, if you don't know anything about rugby, to have the entire point of the last act of the movie kind of lost on you because you don't know anything about rugby, and you're not eased into it, and there's really no framework around the rugby scenes.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially,
there's no guidance to them.
Yeah,
therefore, they become just confusing and chaotic.
Well, and the thing is, even though rugby's, it's like, well, you got to get to the, it's, you know, that whole concept of football of getting to the goal and then getting
right.
The other
it's a very, it's still a very different sport.
But it is very different because it's like you don't know why they're in this huddle. You don't know why somebody's kicking the ball, when they're kicking the ball. The reality is I didn't even know what the score was.
Mm-hmm.
As it was leading up, as opposed, it reminded me a little bit of the movie Miracle, which is a fantastic film.
Yeah,
but it's about, and that one's about the USA hockey team winning the gold medal. But the whole point of that one was, yeah, it was a rallying point, not just for it wasn't just a hockey movie; it was a very patriotic movie. So it had this national tie to it. But in hockey, you're like, it's 2-3; they get a goal and they score. And you're like, okay, I can follow this one. You know, they hit the puck in there. And then, at the end of Miracle, when they're like, yeah, they win. You kind of see it. You can follow it. Whereas this one, yeah, you're right. I didn't know rugby enough. It'd be like making a movie about cricket. And I have no idea how, I mean.
It'd be like, in Fantastic Mr. Fox, it'd be like making a movie about Whack Bat.
Yeah.
It's confusing. Yeah. And even if they explain it on screen once, it doesn't mean you're going to get it. So the score is just awful in this movie. I've never seen a score, or in this case, specific song in the middle of the movie just ruin the entire movie experience. It is astounding. It is an achievement in and of itself. It should get a special recognition from some critics group somewhere for being so abysmal that it just destroys the entire film.
Tell us how you really feel.
So, that said, I think this is one of Matt Damon's best performances, and I think Morgan Freeman is a fantastic Nelson Mandela. The movie is crap.
Well,
though.
I'm going to disagree with you about Morgan Freeman because I love Morgan Freeman as an actor. I think he does, but he's not.
You also love him as a man.
I love him as a man, and I have loved him as a man. No, he's not. He's not as versatile. He's a great actor, but he's not a terribly versatile actor. I mean, he's very good. You give him the right role. He's like Julia Roberts. He's like an old male black Julia Roberts. You can give him a very specific role, and he just knocks it out of the park. But you get him to stretch outside of that, and it's not that he's a bad actor, but he just comes off as Morgan Freeman in like everything he does. And it's sort of like, you remember the movie Wanted, where he throws down that F-bomb at the end of the movie? and and you're just like, whoa, that just,
it just sounds,
it's ridiculous. It, you know, make him the president and have him say a speech, and you're just like, wow, he's really, I can buy him as the president. I can't buy him as a gangster throwing down F-bombs. And the thing is, with Nelson Mandela, he didn't come off as Nelson Mandela. He came off as Morgan Freeman, sort of with a South African accent. So, and that's the thing. It's not that he did a poor job. It's just he didn't become the character. And that, that was my question. And Matt Damon, I mean, Matt Damon did okay, but I didn't think he had a whole lot to work with. You know, whereas like The Informant, which wasn't a great movie, he had a lot to do in that. And there was different things he can do in... And he had, he can really show his range, whereas this one is just, as long as he put on an accent,
right?
You know, he was okay. I don't know. It was, the movie was okay. I was just completely disinterested in it. That was my problem. As I'm watching it, I'm just like, well,
it was very, it was a very easy movie to not be interested in.
Yeah.
So, anywho, moving on.
Well, are, to, do we give him a grade?
Oh, I say totally sucks.
And I'm gonna say kind of sucks because it was okay. I didn't it. I didn't hate it.
Anyway, we're also going to review a limited release this week, The Lovely Bones, which we'll probably talk about again later, maybe.
That, you know, what, I'm going to predict this is going to win the Golden Globe for Best Comedy.
Nice. Anyway, it is the Peter Jackson-directed film about a dead girl.
My name is Salmon, like the fish.
Okay, shipmate, take it away.
First name, Susie.
Bye, Dad.
Bye, Susie.
I was 14 years old when I was murdered.
You miss her, don't you?
She's gone.
What if she isn't? What if she's still here?
Grandma, Susie's in the in-between.
But in my heart, I knew it wasn't perfect. My murderer still haunted me.
And it, as you can tell, it's about, it's based on a book by Alice Siebold, which is a great book. Love the book. And it's about a girl,
don't
a teenage girl.
Don't be ridiculous, you don't read.
A teenage girl who is killed.
Barely teenage. Isn't she like 13? She's young.
She's like 13, 14. Gets killed. And it then watches her family from heaven. And it's a really powerful...
Not really
Well, from the kind of the in-between. In-between heaven and earth. Yeah, she's kind of in limbo. So she watches how not only her family, but the people, her friends, and then also the life of her killer. She sees her killer.
It's a movie about letting go.
Yeah, it's kind of a movie about letting go. It's kind of like Ghost, like that. But...
Without
it's
that
an interesting
sort of
film.
Sex scene.
Yeah. It's an interesting film, and I thought there were a lot of things that Peter Jackson did incredibly right with it.
Including his obnoxiously blatant cameo.
His Hitchcockian cameo.
That's not even Hitchcockian. That's,
it's very Hitchcockian. Like, he's doing something. When you see it, you'll know.
He's
it's
like,
Hitchcockian,
hey guys,
and I'm right.
I'm Kevin's Peter Jackson, and I'm in a movie. Look at me with a camera.
But there's a lot of things that, that he does incredibly right. For instance, the beginning of the movie, he introduces the killer in a way that I feel makes the killer feel 10 feet tall. And he's played by Stanley Tucci. He's this little twerpy guy. But it makes the killer feel mammoth. And it creates this sense of fear so that when very soon down the line, in that first act of the movie, the actual killing happens, this guy is incredibly scary. And then I feel like it, in between that and the last like 30 minutes of the movie, it just kind of meanders around a bit. And then the last 30 minutes of the movie I feel are brilliant because they capture the emotion of the book. They capture kind of the profound beauty of this family story that was achieved in the book. Everything in between, though, just kind of meanders, and it really kind of loses the audience. And I feel like, and there's a lot of weird cinematography choices that go from film to digital and back to film and then back to digital in very quick, sort of incoherent ways. So I feel like it's just, I don't know, it just felt like a hastily done movie, even though it's a movie that's been delayed several times.
Yeah.
And he's had plenty of time to make it. It felt like, I don't know. Just didn't feel right.
So what's your grade? I'm going to give my grade. I'm going to give my review on this in the after the break. But what's
your
grade?
Yeah, why don't we? You know what? I'm going to ponder it while we go to break.
You saw this.
I don't have a grade
like a
yet.
Ago.
I want to say more stuff about it.
No, you've said enough. You've talked for like 80
back,
minutes.
We're coming back in a moment.
This is like a director's commentary.
Up.
hard road. 33 years of tough luck. 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. Since Neil was like Peter Jackson and was completely gratuitous and gluttonous on his review.
Can I just say one more thing, though?
Oh, Jesus.
Here's the deal.
Okay. Oh, my Lord. You stole my line.
The one thing I feel like this movie really kind of failed with is the scenes of the girl, Susie, in the heaven or whatever. The
limbo. She wasn't in heaven, dude.
In the
That's
limbo.
The whole point.
She wasn't in heaven. No, I get it. She wasn't in heaven. She's in the in-between.
Well, quit saying it.
All right, so when she's in the in-between, her in-between.
She was in the book. She was in the spiritual taint. It was in the middle.
I don't know where I can go from there, really. but in the book, there is this overwhelming sense of calm and peace to this place. And you have this instant feeling that once she realizes that she's dead, there's like this overwhelming sense of like calm, but she's very calmly like watching and observing, and it doesn't really get chaotic until the end. But in the movie, it's this very chaotic kind of surrealist painting vision that just does not ever make you feel like it makes you feel like it's very confusing, actually, and I think that's incredibly problematic because the weight of the book is kind of hinged on all of the chaos and all of the emotion and all of these things being felt on Earth and not by
Susie. Was it a long book?
No, it's not a long book at all.
Then why did it weigh so much?
I don't know. Wow. Anyway, so that's all I have to say. I think it's a kind of sucks
movie. Is
that
really all you have to say, or am I going to start
by
reviewing?
No, this is really all I have to say. It's a kind of sucks movie.
Oh.
Because...
Really? I thought you liked it more than that.
I feel like it... Well, you know, maybe it kind of rocks. It's really, like, right...
It's right on the fence.
And because I feel like it achieves so much in the very beginning and the very end and loses so much in the middle. Mm. And unfortunately, the middle is a much bigger piece of the movie. So I think it's really that right on the line movie. If you're a fan of the book, go see it. Don't expect to get the entire emotional, the emotional wave that you get with the book. But it feels like a nod to the book rather than an adaptation. There's a lot that's not there. And I guess taken at face value, it's an okay movie.
So kind of rocks, kind of sucks. What is it? What's your final?
All right, we'll go kind of rocks.
Okay. Well, I did not read the book, just to put that out there, because I don't read. I wait till the movie.
This is true.
Yeah. So anyways, this film it's a Peter Jackson film. And the problem I have with Peter Jackson, and I've had this problem with Peter Jackson since he did Lord of the Rings, and during the Lord of the Rings thing, he milks things a lot. And there are certain directors that I feel can do the long, drawn-out scenes. Kubrick could do it. Mm-hmm. And I even though people disagree with me, I think M. Night Shyamalan can do it. But a lot of other directors just seem to be taking their time because they just love their own work and they don't know how to trim it down.
Right. David Fincher had that problem with Benjamin Button. He was in love with the effect.
Yeah,
that they were achieving.
The richness and the atmosphere and that sort of thing. And you get that in here, whereas like something like King Kong, like when King Kong came out, I remember watching it going, well, you know what, they could have cut this whole scene out. They could have cut 20 minutes out of it. And I remember editing it in my mind and thinking I could have pulled a movie that was 2 hours and 15 minutes as opposed to 3 hours. When I watched The Lovely Bones, which is like clocks in like, what, 2:10, something like that, 2 hours, 10 minutes, there was no thing in there where I said you could cut that scene or whatever. It just, the scenes all seem to run long.
Right.
And that's a Peter Jackson thing. And I thought it was well done. I thought the emotional impact was there. It's not as much a movie, but it's not a crime thriller, which is kind of what the trailers portray it as. They portray it as, look at this girl trying to solve the crime from the beyond the grave kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's a movie about letting go, not just for her, but for her family. And that's really the greater theme than even the killer in it and that sort of thing. And not having read the book, I got the sense that it's a hard book to adapt. And there are scenes in the film where I'm just like, wow, this is... They're really kind of taking a long way and a difficult way to to show this part of the movie. It looks like they're trying to. There's a scene in there where the father meets with the killer and kind of realizes that he's the killer, and it seems like. And there's no pragmatic reason why, aside from the fact that maybe from beyond the grave she willed it to happen, and and I kind of got that, but I was just kind of like, and if that maybe was the point of the book, sure, but it was just very hard to show visually as opposed to reading the book, and that's kind of the take I took on that. And while there are some parts that were really cool and innovative, like the limbo world she was in, I thought was really neat looking, and it kind of was interesting. But then there were parts in there that were just so cliche. Like, there's a scene where the grandmother, played by Susan Sarandon, comes in to sort of take over and help out with the family. And so they have this montage sequence that's at times are very funny, and she's a really funny, drunk, you know, alcoholic grandmother. Yeah.
There's a very light kind of air around her.
But then there are like jokes that are thrown down that are from like Three's Company. Like, there's a scene where she goes in, she's looking for a bottle of something to drink, and she gets cooking sherry, and she's like, "That's cooking sherry." And I'm like, "Really, seriously? You went to the cooking sherry joke that's been in like Laverne and Shirley? It's been in sitcoms since the '60s and '70s." So,
well, this film was set in the '70s, so I guess
maybe the jokes they wouldn't didn't have gotten
all
yet.
Of those jokes.
Wow. I don't know if that's an excuse, but...
I don't think it is either.
I'd say it kind of rocks. I mean, it wasn't awful. It wasn't tough to sit through. It just was... It's a little long. Mm-hmm. And I don't know
It's not long because it has a lot of story. And I think that's another thing that might frustrate people who love the book. Mm-hmm. Is there are a lot of elements to the story that were cut out. Yeah. So this movie is still very long, yet a lot of the very impactful moments of the book are not there. So... That's kind of problematic, yeah. Peter Jackson.
So, there you go.
Take that.
Let's go to the box office.
Yeah, what's going to make some money this week?
Well, last week, The Blind Side beat out New Moon, which I think is awesome.
I know, it was awesome. Great. Good going, Sandra Bullock.
And nothing else guilt did movie. Well. Yeah, nothing else did well. There was the Brothers came in third.
Brothers came in third. And Armored came in seventh, and Everybody's Fine came in tenth. Up in the Air came in 13th, only opening in 15 theaters. So and Up in the Air, I guess, did well.
Transylvania came in so low, it made the record for the lowest per theater average for a movie that opened in 2,000 theaters or more.
Wow. That's because I didn't even hear about it. But yeah, no, so good on for Up in the Air. Up in the Air is going to expand. When are we going to talk about that one? Did we review that yet?
No, we'll do that probably next week.
Awesome. So you have The Princess and the Frog, which I believe will probably be the winner of the weekend.
That'll win.
I don't see any reason. Invictus, I think, will do well. It'll make top five.
It'll do okay.
You know, because, I mean, there's star power behind it. It's a Clint Eastwood movie. There's a built-in audience for that. Clint Eastwood is the Tyler Perry of old white people.
Well, so, it'll do about what, like, The Changeling or Flags of Our Fathers did. It'll do okay, but not very well.
Right. So then you have... that's pretty much going to be it. Up in the Air is going to be expanding, but not until Christmas, I believe.
And Lovely Bones is going to be in like three theaters. So
yeah, and Lovely Bones is only in three theaters, so don't expect a big turnout from that. But Lovely Bones goes wide. Christmas, the 18th.
No, Christmas. It's been pushed to a wide January, release, like that's January, right. Like the 15th.
January. They're just getting their Oscar.
Yeah, this is like what Million Dollar Baby did, where it was dropped on where the Aviator. Right. The Aviator did the same thing.
January. Yeah. Okay, so there's that.
Fat Guy Five Time.
Fat Guy Five Time. This ought to be interesting.
Boys!
The five awesome Disney animated movies, as told by the fat guys at the movies.
Yes. Number one, I'm going to do this one. We'll each do the ones that we chose. Mm-hmm. And there's no order to this, because we're lazy. And we don't do that sort of
thing. We also can't count.
Yeah. Treasure Planet. This was the most... I think this was one of the most underrated movies that did not do well at all. It, in fact, did so poorly, Disney almost killed the Pirates of the Caribbean movie in pre-production because they thought that people didn't want to see a movie about pirates.
Yeah.
But it's a fantastic movie where it's a space version of Treasure Island. It's brilliant. I actually saw it on IMAX when it was released. A very underrated movie. One of the best movies that Disney had put out in its later years.
Mm-hmm.
Next one. The next three are mine because next two are mine.
Yeah, this list is very unbalanced.
Well, it's just you didn't give me any suggestions at the beginning. So Beauty and the Beast. This one was the only Disney movie, the only animated film ever nominated for an Academy Award for Best Picture, and it will continue to be the only one because now they got the best animated film, and so none
we'll
of
see,
them.
We'll see, man. We'll see.
What do you think? What
I think Up could get nominated for Best Picture.
I don't think so.
It won't win, but it'll get nominated.
I don't think it will get nominated for Best Picture because it's going to be in the animation category.
So
it's the same thing as they're not going to nominate a documentary for the Best Picture of the year.
So
there. Yours next. Oh no, mine's next.
Nanny Boo Boo.
Whatever your mom. Sleeping Beauty is a great one. This one is way back from the '50s, late '50s. Mm-hmm. Fantastic movie and probably one of the best princess movies before the modern era of Disney animation revival in the '80s.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can do yours. Dogs.
Oh, Lady and the Tramp. Love that movie.
Yes.
It's about a lady and a tramp.
That's right. And they actually
get it? It's kind of like my general life story. I relate to it. As a child, I related to it. I knew that was how it's going to go for me.
I don't even know what that's talking about. You know, there is a scene in there where they were delicately trying to imply that the lady was pregnant and Tramp had gotten her in trouble.
That's right.
But they pussyfoot around it so much you don't even get it from watching the
that's
movie.
That's right. Who's the tramp now?
That's right. She's the lady and the tramp. It's the same person. It's like officer and gentleman.
Anyway, speaking of ladies, this one actually goes out to my lady. It's one of our collective favorite animated movies of all time.
This one blows my mind.
Robin Hood. The animated Robin Hood with the fox as Robin.
Yes. The fantastic Mr. Fox.
The fantastic fox in the role of Robin.
Here's a little bit of Robin Hood.
Thieves. It was way better because, you know, when I was growing up in the 90s and whatnot, there were two Robin Hood movies that you kind of... The Errol Flynn one was like so far...
Classic.
We didn't, it was classic. You can't argue with it. But there are two modern era Robin Hood movies.
Yeah.
It was this one and the Kevin Costner one. And I always thought the fox out-acted Kevin Costner.
Oh, big time.
So...
The fox actually did a British accent.
Right. The fox was actually British. Kevin Costner was kind of British.
Well, he was British in like two
sometimes.
Scenes. Kind of British in two scenes and the rest of it, he just wasn't British at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an interesting piece of trivia about Robin Hood.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know this is the movie that's responsible for giving us the hamster dance song? You know the little...
I did not realize that.
That's the rooster song from the beginning. Because he sings... Do we have to pay royalties for that now?
I have no idea. That's right,
let's move on to the next one. We're running over the segment, but that's okay. This one's mine. 101 Dalmatians.
101 Dalmatians is yours. Yes.
This is an awesome movie. And I actually had a chance to go out to the Disney junket for this one when they released the Platinum Edition. And this was the last movie that they, or rather the first movie they used the Xerox machine to print the cells, and we got to print real cells and paint our own cells. It was really awesome. And it was a great, it was a dream of mine because I loved 101 Dalmatians ever since I was a kid. It's a fantastic movie.
You always had a crush on Cruella de Vil, didn't you?
Oh, she was so hot.
It's because you're evil.
I did get to meet the woman who did the voice for the mom in it, the woman in it.
Wow.
Yeah, she's old.
Fair enough.
But the movie came out so long ago. But that's a fantastic movie. The next one, this one's yours.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to see.
The Lion King.
Are you yawning? Are you bored with your own list?
I'm a fan of Elton John music.
Mm.
Last two are yours.
Are you going to sing? Do we get a little bit of Circle of Life?
No,
here?
I feel like it's lost its luster at this point.
It lost
me
its
singing the Circle of Life.
The second you
opened
it,
was really
your
more
mouth.
For show prep than the show.
Wonderful. Mine is Aladdin. That's a great one. That was actually your lady friend's suggestion from afar. I heard during the show prep.
Yes.
So, Aladdin, that's a good one. And then The Little Mermaid, which started the revival. And I saw that in the theater, and the La Poisson song made me laugh so hard, I crapped my pants.
Mm-hmm.
And then sat through the rest of the movie.
Okay.
And it was, you know what's funny? It was at like it was at one of those places that you eat while you watch a movie.
I see.
Are we ready to go?
Oh, we're so ready to go.
All right. We'll do DVDs in the next segment. Ta.
Fat Guys at the Movies. We have kind of inappropriately stumbled through a bunch of Disney animated movies that we liked and reviewed this week's releases. So now it's time, once again, as always, is the tradition for the world famous DVD roundup. Wow. So we'll start, as we always do, with me, because my picks are the most important.
Well, you actually have more picks than I do. Although, there's one of your picks.
It's like three to two.
Yeah. It's sort of like a rugby match.
And one of them's kind of a dual pick, you're right. But the first one is World's Greatest Dad, which was a Sundance pickup from this year. Magnolia Pictures picked it up, and they're now releasing it on DVD and Blu-ray. Probably one of the funniest movies of the year. One of the best movies, in my opinion, of the year.
Even funnier than, like, Brothers?
Yeah. Directed by Bobcat Goldthwait, starring Robin Williams and the kid from Spy Kids. Quite hilarious. Very inappropriate. Very dark. It's a very black comedy.
But he's a redhead.
That's not what that means. Anyway, so go out and pick up World's Greatest Dad. Do yourself a favor.
Could you imagine what it'd be like being directed by Bobcat Goldthwait? You'd be like,
he sounds normal.
Action.
In real life, he sounds normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they like to think.
It's like, he's very, like, normal guy. He puts that voice on.
It's sort of like, I was watching Four Christmases on DVD this week, and Kevin, the guy who plays Kevin from The Office, is in it. You know Kevin, he's the tall, fat, bald guy.
Right, yeah.
And he normally talks like this on the show.
Right.
This is how he talks. Mm-hmm. And he's talking in a normal voice. And the thing is, he looks exactly the same.
It's completely messed up.
But when he starts talking, you literally don't recognize him. It's like he fades out into another person when he actually talks normally. Anyways, move on.
Anywho, the other one is Lost Season 5, which is fantastic on Blu-ray. There's also the Dharma Initiation Kit version, where you can get a VHS tape, which I don't know if the VHS tape actually works or not.
Well, the VHS tape barely works on the TV show.
So it's hard to say what that is, but the Blu-ray comes with Lost University, which is a Blu-ray live thing where you can kind of learn some of the secrets of Lost, which is very cool for big fans of the show. I mean, I guess if we're on season 5 and you're just now buying season 5,
if you haven't seen season 1 through 4, you're an idiot.
You're really in trouble.
Yeah.
So
this is not one of those movies, TV shows you can just... It's not like Two and a Half Men where you can be like, oh yeah, there's a guy, two guys and a kid living together.
Yeah. In fact, the
log line for Lost doesn't even work anymore. Because you say, in the first scene, what's about? What's a bunch of people who crash on a desert island? Now you'd be like, what's it about? God, there's a smoke thing, and like
it's
this
kind
guy,
of about an island.
And there's time travel, and there's
it's
these scientists,
an
and
island.
A giant magnetic thing in the whole, yeah, it's completely bizarre.
So, anywho,
still one of the best shows out there.
It's a great show. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. I guess the point is, if you already know whether or not you're going to buy this, I would just suggest buying the Blu-ray because there's more cool stuff on there.
Yeah.
And if you have a Blu-ray player, I don't understand why you're buying DVDs anyway. But my last one is Rescue Me Season 5 Volume 2, which is yet another one of those where you kind of know, like, instantly when I say that, all the Rescue Me fans are like, oh, that's out? I have to go buy that.
Yeah, no one's going to start watching Rescue Me
but
in
you
the
should
second
start.
Half of Season 5.
You should start at Season back. 1. It's a great show. Yeah. I'm a big fan.
All right, let me... I'll do mine. One of them is Public Enemies, which is the Michael Mann movie about John Dillinger, actually, is how you pronounce... That's actually how his family pronounces his name.
Dillinger?
I know somebody who knew somebody who was able to interview his family members because they knew to call him John Dillinger instead of Don Dillinger.
And that's actually
how the person got their interview. But Johnny Depp plays the bank robber, John Dillinger, although they call him Don Dillinger and John Dillinger in the movie. It's directed by Michael Mann. I wasn't wild about it. I thought it was a well done movie, but it wasn't. It was sort of like Miami Vice in the sense that it was this. It's not quite an action movie. It's more of a drama. I would give it that. But it's worth checking out. And it has the Blu-ray Pocket Blue feature, so you can control it with your iPhone. There's also Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, which is out on, I think, 17 different versions of the movie. There's like single disc widescreen, single disc full screen, and all these Blu-ray combo. Here's the catch. If you get the Blu-ray DVD combo, literally on Amazon, costs $5 less than getting the double disc edition.
Wow.
So it's actually cheaper to get the Blu-ray. Get the Blu-ray because it has the DVD in there.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
For show.
It's one of the best Harry Potter movies since part three, I think.
Yeah, I haven't really checked it out yet.
You don't like Harry Potter.
I'm not really a big fan.
That's because you're stupid.
That happens.
Stinker, Julie and Julia.
Yeah, which, I don't 100% agree with because I kind of liked that movie. Oh, I thought it was actually pretty solid.
It was okay.
Performances were pretty good.
It was excruciating for me to sit through. I mean, there are people I know who loved it. And
which is odd because you love food.
I do love food, but I don't want to see a movie about food.
Anyway.
Although, a little bit on Princess and the Frog, Disney sent me a cookbook of stuff, and I made the beignets. They're these little, like, Cajun donuts.
Right.
And they're awesome. I made them, and they're really awesome.
Donuts, of course. Anyway, all right, so moving on, time to wrap up our reviews. Princess and the Frog, Kevin saw and said.
Rocked.
Invictus, we both saw. I says, totally sucks.
And I just said, it kind of sucks.
And then the Lovely Bones, which I said kind of rocks.
That's where I was too, kind
of
rocks.
Next week we've got Avatar, the biggest movie of the season.
It will redefine how you see movies and eat popcorn and that sort of thing.
And then we've got also, did you hear about the Morgans?
No, I didn't.
Crazy Heart, starring Jeff Bridges. In the meantime, get us over at fatguysthemovies.com. Until then, stay strong.